Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to that's a good one, Jack. I'm going to sit here and say the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio, but I got to read it.
Well, it's been a hectic week, so, and a hectic campaign, so you're forgiven and understood. It's understandable.
Today, we may or may not have our Wayne Johnson with us. If he gets back in, he'll give him a call. But he's over celebrating his daughter's birthday in Annapolis.
That's right. Yeah. That's incredible. Well, it's nice that he can get back home now and then. That's quite a distance for him to go from Ohio to Maryland.
It is. And most of the people we'd like to have on right now are either busy campaigning and already tucked in. But next week, I do believe we'll get Sheree. She's dealing with so much over there in Louisiana and all the flooding. And I'll tell you what, you know how you get a sinus pressure when a bad storm comes, a low comes in and stuff?
Oh, have you got one over there right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going on. In fact, I think you could safely call our house the sleeping weekend. You know, everybody's
wow. Even the dog's quiet.
Yeah.
Even the dog's knocked out.
Well, not quite. But as Mother used to say, you let sleeping dogs lie.
There you go. That's right. Good advice. Very true. Well, it's been an eventful weekend. I saw a brief snippet of Sheree on Democracy Now! She was protesting with others the new ability for new people to bid on more drilling in the Gulf Coast. And I just can't believe that Obama's caved that way.
The Gulf leases. Well, you know, there's also this, too, with all of that. The oil companies have had their feet in there. It's not so much Obama as it is most of the regular politicians and business people in that area of the Gulf who don't want to.
Oh, it's a massive buyout. It's a massive, massive corrupt buyout. And it's typical of big business these days, especially corporate oil, big oil, and all these big companies, big pharma. They're all playing the same game, and it's pay to play is all it is.
Well, but more and more, you got people, there's upsets to the apple carts of usual business as usual. I mean, I just myself, I have not been watching football for years. You know, Buffalo used to come down and regularly kick the pants off of the Dolphins, where I had a box for years. And I said, that's it. I'm over with this. Then my nephew played football. I watched him.
Right.
But other than that, no thank you. And plus, it's, you know, a gladiator sport. However, today I became a fan of the San Francisco 49ers. You want to know why?
Why?
Well,
progressive leadership?
Well, yeah, you could say that. It's because their quarterback, Colin, I believe his name is pronounced Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
Well, he decided that the other day in a preseason game that he was going to sit out the playing of the national anthem. And he did it for a reason. And I think that the reason is worth repeating here, and it's why I'm supporting him. He said, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color.
Mm-hmm.
He told the NFL media in an exclusive interview after the game, to me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to go the other way. There are bodies in the street, and people get paid leave and getting away with murder. And I think that when things like this begin to appear in the public consciousness and people see their heroes, the football players, the actors, those people start standing up and saying what for, then you have progress.
Yeah.
So I'm a 49er.
I'm all with him. That's a great move. I'm glad he had the courage to stand up and do that. And there will be a lot of guys out there gunning for him, not literally gunning, but, you know, trying to take him down one way or another for that stance, and because they're ignorant.
There's already been a slew of YouTubes of people burning his jersey and
It's insane, insane. You know, I have noticed in recent years, especially lately, this big upswing in pro-militaristic stuff involving professional sports. God almighty, I go to a lot of baseball games, as you know, and they're constantly, I mean, I'm very happy to support our brave men and women who are risking their lives in our military, unless they're involved in terrible, oppressive things overseas, you know. But regardless, whether they are or they aren't, they're out there, they're putting their lives on the line. But they're constantly bringing this up all the time. They're constantly saluting our military. It's like going to an ROTC rally or something. It's absolutely getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true. There's way too much going on it. And then,
at Minnesota Twins games, they have Military Mondays. They honor the military every Monday. And they do it during the week, too. So it's constantly going on, and it's just too much.
Yeah, it really is. This week, we had a lot go down, as we do almost generally every week now. It's incredible to watch how these candidates are being revealed to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
I think the polarities are so stark too. It's like,
and the media loves to play in on that. They love the differences. They love the spectacle. They love fighting. They love anything that's a spectacle. They love to present, and they love to stir it up too.
Blood in the water. Well, I have to say kudos on the MSNBC lineup again in the evening during the weekdays. Mm-hmm. Lawrence O'Donnell actually put out quite a piece on the Dakota Pipeline, the protests going on by many nations up there.
Good.
Folks are out there protesting. I'm calling up the information, but what's going on is they're trying to put
a pipeline running all the way over to Illinois, I think it is, from North Dakota.
Yeah, it's on the border of South Dakota, and they're trying to install a pipeline that will.
And
go
they're
under-
worried that it's going to pollute the Missouri River, which is a very real concern, and I'm with them 100%.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful effort, people. Keep it going until you defeat that pipeline. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, and this has got echoes of Wounded Knee surrounding it.
It sure does.
It's a prairie occupation to block this. They cut their fresh water off. They try to stop anyone from getting up there and joining anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Cherie has been part of this in its beginnings, too. It would carry more than 400,000 gallons or barrels of crude oil a day from the Bakken region of northwestern North Dakota across South Dakota and Iowa to connect with an already existing pipeline in Illinois. As you say, they'd go under the mighty Mo.
And I'm proud to say that the Native Americans in northern Minnesota strongly opposed this pipeline from day one, and they raised so much hell about it, they actually diverted the pipeline out of our state. They were going to build it across northern Minnesota and then bring it down, but it didn't happen because of their opposition. And I hope that the many nations inhabitants in North and South Dakota too will raise enough hell to completely squash this pipeline. We don't need it. We are a glut in oil worldwide. We don't need any more oil, especially this dirty oil. We don't need this stuff. It's terrible what it's doing to our water. There's only so much fresh water in the world anyway. You know, they can't keep polluting it and using it to frack. It's just insane.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's dangerous.
Well, it's incredible that anybody would.
Well, it's profit. That's all they want to do is make money. That's all they care about.
And who is paying the price for this? But it's the Standing Rock Sioux and so many other nations that will pay for this. And
all of us will indirectly.
And yeah,
lack of drinking water, you know.
It will spoil. It will get into the Missouri. And, you know, there's just no, it's unconscionable. So the support to these folks out there working against this, including one of our favorite weirdness, one of the big Bernie supporters, Susan Sarandon's been out there with them too.
Good.
She's becoming quite an activist, which is pretty cool.
That's great.
Like I said, when this goes on, when our leaders stand up, when our leaders stand up and the people we consider leaders or we look up to, when these icons stand up for good reasons, then people pay attention because the press pays attention.
And then sites like Breitbart will try to marginalize them and paint them as kooks, and you know, and Fox News will probably join in on it too. You know, they live on a different planet though.
Well, they brought it to court. The lawyers from Earth Justice are representing the Standing Rock Sioux in a legal effort. And they're claiming the Army Corps of Engineers violated the National Historic Preservation Act when it approved the project.
Yep.
And a more stringent environmental review should be done. And they're quite right, and I hope they get it. And
I hope they do too.
You know, because it's the end of the show. There's every chance that President Obama could step in and say, yeah, this isn't going to happen, or we're going to review this, you know?
I hope he does, but I'm not too optimistic. He's kind of bent. Look at he's bent to oil company demands in the Gulf area, although he did. It blows me away. He did go along with the idea of banning any more oil exploration along the middle Atlantic states. That was a wonderful, wonderful move. But then all of a sudden he okays it for the Gulf. I mean, it just blows your mind.
It does blow your mind. But I would say again that you have to remember that there's a lot that goes on in that Oval Office that we have no idea about. And, you know,
it's probably good or we'd all be dead. We'd be in shock and die.
We don't know what kind of pressures come to bear because, you know, there's a lot of nasty crap that's going on. You either do this or you do that, or we got you here or there. And that's how Washington works. It's quid pro quo.
Exactly. And especially today, it's pay to play from top to bottom. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I don't think it all is, or we'd all be really fucked. But,
there's a hell of a lot of it going on, and a lot of it gets never sees the day of light as far as media goes concerned, because the media's all corporate-owned, they want to protect themselves.
Well, of course, but when you say pay-to-play, I mean, I've heard that all week long in the media from Republicans about the Clinton Foundation, and I got
to... Oh, they love to label the Clinton Foundation. I mean, they should talk... They shouldn't identify themselves so much. They've been masters at pay to pay. Look at Tom DeLay, for God's sakes. That's all he did. Look at Spiro Agnew. It's been going on for years.
I think it's really important to say that the Clinton Foundation is something that should not be shut down. It's going to cost lots of lives if they do.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree.
If people don't know what the Clinton Foundation is, it just bugs the shit out of me that I'm talking to someone who it's all bullshit, let's get a brick.
Well, I just love this narrative that Hillary's crooked Hillary. And, you know, these Republicans are just like lemmings. They repeat all this stuff, and they don't know what they're talking about half the time. I had a guy say, I'm not going to vote for Hillary. She's a crook. I go, well, how is she a crook? Give me some examples. He couldn't say anything, you know?
Well, that's true. She never really has been caught crooked. Except by
Trump.
She's been caught using the wrong email server. She's been caught sticking her foot in a puddle of shit a few times.
But that's not being a crook.
No, and it's
not as crooked as some of the shady deals that Trump has pulled off. And just because I know you are, but what am I? I'm not playing that game, but I mean, it is true.
Well, let's put it where it is with Trump. The guy's a chiseler, a con artist, business. And this
Carnival Barker.
Oh, my God. The guy, and then this weekend, I don't know which great basketball player, but
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out against him.
Dwayne Wade, that's who. His cousin was shot and killed in Chicago with her child. And this is as she was walking her child in a drive-by. And this is the kind of stuff he's been using to, I don't know if you've seen all of these.
Well, he's trying to gin up the law and order people and get everybody riled up again. All he's trying to do, he's taking a play out of the Nixon playbook, and it's disgusting.
No, what he's been doing most of this week, Jack, has been, you know, I don't know if you've heard it, but he says, what have you got to lose?
Oh, I've seen all that bullshit. He is so full of crap. And what's he going to do for the minorities? Nothing. Not a damn thing. Try me. Just get me elected. You'll see. You won't see anything.
Well, the point, the nuts and bolts of this situation, it's not just blather. The nuts and bolts of this situation are that this is what he's saying. What have you got to lose? And you can just tick off everything on a big list of what people have to lose by voting for this guy, including the fact that with his father, Fred, and he himself in the 70s began with discrimination against people of color. And it was taken to court by the Justice Department, and he was told to clean up his act or else twice.
Right.
I mean, this guy is, yes, there's a reason that Breitbart has walked in. The guy is a racist. He is a racist.
Hilarious, you know, how Stephanie Miller, maybe don't know, but Stephanie Miller has a guy named Rocky Mountain Mike who composes little ditties based on popular songs of either the past or present. And he had a hilarious one this past week based on the Johnny Quest theme from when we were kids. He was calling it Donnie Quest. And he goes, meet racist Bannon, da, 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 da. It was hilarious. And oh, so true.
I love that show. But the point is that here we have a guy who's running for president who is the absolute culmination of everything that the Republicans, with their moral majority, beginning with their moral majority, graduating to the Tea Party, and then graduating to what we have right here now, they can just lie in this bed. They can just lie in it.
It's all been a sham from day one. It's all been a bunch of scams, and they're trying to make it look real, and they're trying to dupe innocent voters that aren't that bright, you know, or not that informed. And it's been working for them. It's disgusting how it's been working. And part of the reason it's been working is because the Democrats and the leftists have been kind of staying behind and not really getting out there and really not circulating the way they should, not voting when they should and as much as they should. And that's the reason we've got the Tea Party. because of machinations by the Koch brothers and people like that, but also because of Democratic laziness, not going to the polls, taking the off years off, the midterm elections, taking them off and not voting. That is not a smart move, Democrats and leftists. Get your act together.
Yeah, but in the midst of that, what you've had come up that used to be more of a Democrat, a Democratic bent, now you have basically, you have a huge group of people in this country that are getting more and more organized every day, that, and we know many who are activists and Bernie supporters, and just a whole crowd of people who are fed up with both parties. And while one is still, they both are anchored as the power, political power in this country, now you've got this huge, absolutely stunning, especially in this election, turnout of people who are saying neither one of them are good enough, and we're not voting that way. And and still, here's the thing that really, really kicks me, is that this guy, Brad Johnson, who has absolutely no idea of how to govern. I mean, Gary Johnson.
Yeah, he's running on the Libertarian ticket. I'm doing a big expose on him this next Thursday. It'll be out. Yeah, this guy, all he is, he's a fiscal conservative to the max. And he's somewhat socially liberal. Who cares? He's going to play up his social liberalness to try and fool and appease voters that way. But he's a Tea Party guy, is what he is.
Yeah, well, he's basically got 15% of the vote, while Jill Stein.
He doesn't have 15 yet. He's working toward it. He's nowhere near 15. He's at about 9 right now.
Well, I guess
that's still too much, though.
I guess it depends on what polls you're looking at, but
well, he's got to be in almost all the polls at 15 before he gets the recognition he's seeking, and I hope he's denied it, because the guy is nothing but a disaster.
Well,
although he will steal a lot of Trump votes, but who cares?
As of today, he's gotten about 15%. They're saying between 13% and 15%, and
who's the they?
This is a culmination of all the largest polls.
I haven't seen that yet. I've seen smaller amounts, but that's okay. Regardless, he isn't up there yet, and we got to keep him from getting up there.
And Jill Stein, who's getting three or 4%, or as much as 5%, but still very low.
It's still way down there.
The voices, though, that are screaming that her side or no side seem to me to be very large, and yet they're not, and it tells me something. It tells me that people who have, you know, a lot to say and get involved don't do a lot of voting, you know? I mean, good Lord.
No, they like to complain, but they don't like to do anything. You know, there is a certain amount of laziness involved there, too, and I'll put a big L on it. It's called lazy, and it's, I just want to talk about it. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to associate with those people. I just want it to happen because I believe it's right, and that's not good enough, people. You got to get out there. You've got to be an activist. You've got to do what you can any which way. I don't care if it's calling on the phone or writing a letter to the editor of the newspaper or the magazine. You've got to get active. You just can't sit and bellyache and expect the world to change. It's not going to happen.
Well, Jack, honestly, I do know a lot of people with big mouths who also vote and who go out and register.
That's
voters.
What we need. We need them to vote. I'm talking about the ones that aren't voting and just shooting their mouth off. That's not good enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that are sitting back like that, and it kind of freaks me out too, because I mean, I'm hearing all kind. You know, the apathy is huge. The apathy.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, I would say there's a lot to look up to. There's a lot to.
There's a lot to propel us.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good going on. I do think that I would
and
wish...
more than we've seen recently, and that's a good sign, and we've got to keep that going. People, it's not hopeless. It's only hopeless if you give up the ship. And I have not given up the ship. You have not given up the ship. Our fellow activists have not given up the ship. We cannot afford to give up the ship.
You got to give them reasons not to give up the ship. And basically, it's up to them to go out and find the reasons. You can, you and I can sit here and push the boat off, but it's still going to be tied to the dock unless people do it themselves.
And that's right.
The thing is that... I really also, I'm all for having all four of those candidates on the debate because...
Yeah, we need to have issues discussed, not just personality conflicts and not just pretty faces out there. We've got to have some nitty-gritty talk, and we're not having that. Not with these debates the way they got them set up right now. It's an either-or situation, and it's just confrontation. It's not discussion.
Well, I think it would, frankly, for my candidate, I think it would afford her the opportunity to address some of the really great issues that Jill Stein would bring up, and it would give her the foothold to say why libertarian dynamics don't work for the country and the people, and it would give Donald Trump somebody else to start calling names at and make him look like a bigger fool.
The biggest thing is, yeah, it would make him look like a guy that doesn't know what the hell's going on, and that's exactly right. He has no clue. He just thinks he does. And all this talk about him being so educated, I don't see it. I'm sorry. He might have attended a very important business school, but he didn't learn a damn thing about hardly anything else, you know.
Well,
I don't see any evidence of it.
I don't think he did. As far as business goes, what he's a genius at is chiseling.
Yeah,
I mean,
chiseling and bilking and cajoling and you know that's not you know it's not being a business magnate.
No.
It's being a wannabe, which is what he's been as most of his whole life. He just had daddy's money to help propel him along.
Well, he's a reality star, and reality shows are bullshit.
They're not real. They're not real in the least. They're contrived, is what they are. Contrived shows is what we should call them.
Yeah, I think even some of the singing ones are completely contrived myself.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I got to say that you've got a reality star here running for office, and the guy has did you see how many times this week he flip-flopped on immigration?
Oh.
It was ridiculous. I mean,
does the word infinite come to mind?
I mean, back and forth. And here's the thing that people don't do. They don't go and take a look at what the actual policy is. If you go over to his website, it's like nothing there. Emperor really has no clothes. If you go over to Clinton's site or Jill Stein's site, you're going to find a lot of context, a lot of policy ideas on both of their sites.
Exactly.
If you go over to the libertarian side, there's a lot of gobbledygook about boiling.
Oh, I read their platform again to see if it had changed much, and all they've done is they've couched some of their terminology a little bit to make it a little more palatable. What they are, they're a party for big billionaires set up by big billionaires, and they've got a lot of toadies out there touting their line, and it's such a sham. It's just ridiculous. They're still against, they want to get rid of Medicare, they want to get rid of public schools, they want to get rid of anything that the federal government has a hand in. And I'm sorry, that's just a license for billionaires to have free reign to do whatever they damn well please. That's all the Libertarian Party's for. It puts out things that look enticing, but the more you look at them with an analytical mind, the more you're going to realize it's absolutely a sham.
Well, what they want you to do is they want to get rid of taxes. They want you to pay for all your, garbage, first responders, everything that the government oversees.
They want everything privatized so somebody can make money off it. That's what they want. It's insane.
And that leads to nothing but deeper pockets of corruption. Always
yes,
have.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
I mean,
yep.
That's what's wrong with monarchies that are still full-blown monarchies without democracies beneath
mm-hmm.
them. And this is basically what a libertarian point of view is about. It's not about...
It's unrealistic, it's impractical, and I'm going to state exactly why in my next blog at the Saturday Afternoon Post. It'll be coming out on Thursday, so everybody can read it there, and it's going to tell a lot of truth for a change instead of this bullshit we've been seeing in the public venues, especially on private-owned... corporate-owned TVs and networks and stuff like that. So the media's gone bankrupt. It's just it's all bought out. It's all corporatized. It's it plays it safe. It uses confrontation instead of issues. It's just it's a phony world, and you know, you can't get by on that forever. You've got to present truth.
Everywhere I go,
I was going to play a piece. I think that Hillary Clinton gave a speech this week that took, I should use a Nixon terminology, when you've got them by the short hair, the ball, the rest follows. This is part of Hillary Clinton grabbing Donald by the balls and dragging him through the street. This speech this week was really good.
She should bring her hammer along, too, and stomp on him a little bit.
She's a lady.
Okay, let's hear it.
People tell me how concerned they are by the divisive rhetoric coming from my opponent in this election. And I understand that concern, because it's like nothing we've heard before from a nominee or president of the United States from one of our two major parties. Trump is reinforcing harmful stereotypes and offering a dog whistle to his most hateful supporters. It's a disturbing preview of what kind of president he'd be. This is not conservatism as we have known it. This is not republicanism as we have known it. These are racist ideas, race-baiting ideas, anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, anti-women, all key tenets making up the emerging racist ideology known as the alt-right.
That was a piece by that was done by Rolling Stone in their article about the alt-right. And
Let's explain for the listeners what, in case they don't know, the alt-right. What it is, it's a new terminology that's arisen to distance reactionaries. Let's call them what they are: reactionaries, backward-thinking people that hate government, hate taxation, hate government involvement in anything, hate regulation, hate all of the necessary benefits that government provides, because they want everything privatized, and they want they're not even conservatives. They're like Paul, what's his name, that Reagan spokesman, that moral majority coiner, that fella said, we're not conservative, we're not typical conservatives, we're radicals. We want to change things. We don't want the status quo. They want to tear down everything and replace it with something worse.
Jack, the alt-right, and basically in this country and globally, the alternative right community is white supremacy. That's what
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. Yep. That's another tenet. Yep. Very true.
These are criminals, because
they are.
It's a crime to act as they've acted, to do as they do. And what's his name? The editor from Breitbart, who's now running the Trump campaign, has been looking for the opportunity to bring the alt-right into the mainstream.
He is, and this is his opportunity, he thinks. But you know what? People are going to reject it. He doesn't know that yet. And it's up to us to make sure that they understand it so that they can and will reject it, because it is a dangerous phenomenon and it doesn't belong on the American political scene, period.
Well, to live in modern day America is to live in a country undeniably affected by racism, mysteriously without any racists. For instance, even after calling Mexicans rapists, retweeting memes from white supremacist message boards and saying Muslims should be banned from entering the country, Donald Trump says he's not a racist. You know, what do you got to lose? The former KKK leader David Duke, an authority on this subject, if there ever was one,
has raved about Donald Trump and what a great candidate he is and how everybody should get behind him. That guy's wacko.
Yeah, he says anybody who doesn't vote for him is a race traitor, you know, heritage traitor.
Unbelievable.
Wait, this is the way things are turning. Also, this has come to its apex. It is a catalyst. Something is going on socially here, just as it has been. Now, Britain, people didn't get out and vote, and that idiot, that asshat, who's now out of power, but brought about Brexit, that isolationist is now campaigning with Trump.
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But basically, this is a global phenomenon, this nationalism that's based in racism. And it's going on throughout Western Europe, in Europe. And it's like, it's the same, I'm going to say this, and I might catch hell, whoever hears it or whatever, but I'm going to say this. These people are proffering the same ideal as ISIL does.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
I mean, they may not.
Everything's got to be exactly their way, just like them, or it's evil and it's got to be stamped out and killed. It's not right. It's not. And you know what? Let's look at what America was really founded on. Yes, we had our racial divisions. We had the Irish trampled on. You had the Germans, the French, every minority that's coming over here. The Italians, they've all been castigated when they first came, and they all assembled and they all melted into the melting pot, and they all helped our country immensely. African Americans too, as slaves, they were brought over forcibly, and look at the wonderful things they've done since they have been here, despite their oppression. You know, it's amazing. And look at what America was founded on. Look at what America was noted for at the end of the 19th century, when the French gave us the Statue of Liberty. And what does it say? What does it say? It says give me your oppressed peoples, your tired oppressed peoples, yearning for freedom and all that stuff. I mean, it's what we want. We want good immigrants to come in here, and we want people to add to this country, and that's what they want to do too. They're not all rapists. They're not all murderers. They're not all chiselers like Donald Trump. They're not like him.
Jack, the United States of America, America is founded on political asylum. It's founded on people coming to gain freedom from the oppression of who they are and what they believe in. All the Puritans got over here because they were kicked the hell out of England.
Because of religious persecution that they experienced.
That's exactly right.
And now their descendants are trying to persecute against anybody that isn't just like them, isn't just a WASP Christian. It's insane.
Not all their descendants are, but yeah.
Oh, right. but a large, a loud minority of them are.
Yes, I would agree with you. That's true.
It's terrible. And you know, it all comes down to intolerance, and this is supposed to be a tolerant country, but we've discussed before, this is not the land of the free. We've got more people in jail than any other country in the world, both per capita and numbers-wise. It is really, it's shameful, and we need to do something about it.
Well, that's because it makes money for somebody.
Yeah, it's all based on profit, and I'll screw you as much as I can, as I can get away with, as long as I can make money.
President Obama just put the axe to paid-for prisons. They're no longer
good. That's just on the federal level, though. There's still a lot at the state level that have got to be done away with, and that's going to take some doing. But at least it's a good sign, a good start.
Here's the other thing. This week in my state, the opportunity to knock a few people out of office is coming around, and we got to get rid of this son of a bitch, Scott.
Oh, he's got to go. He's got to go. He's evil personified.
They've got to get rid of these Republicans at the state level, so many places, especially Michigan. It's getting people out there to
Rick
vote.
Snyder.
And the really bad thing about this is that the Republicans have gerrymandered so many different
districts. They've gerrymandered the House really favorably toward them. And that's why it's really going to take a huge effort to get them out of there. But you know what? That's why we've got to vote. We've got to vote. We've got to vote in anti-Republican legislators, progressive legislators, and we got to fill the state houses and the federal government with people that have a clear vision of what America is supposed to do and supposed to be, and not be obstructionist Tea Party goofs.
Well, I have a question for you. Do you think that the down ticket that they're talking about right now with the Republican candidate, the Republicans this week did not come out to defend. You didn't hear from Mitch McConnell. You didn't hear from Ryan. You didn't hear from any of the big-mouthed Republicans on the Hill when Hillary Clinton delivered her bomb on the alt-right and this racist candidacy.
Yeah.
Nobody said a word for it. No.
Well, what can they say? They have nothing to defend. They know they're in the wrong. They've got it. What they're trying to do, they're trying to devise right now. They're trying to either let it go away with silence, which won't happen, or they're trying to just devise something and they don't know how they can do it yet. They're confused. Trump is really confused these guys with all his. He's made them very vulnerable on a number of levels, and they weren't ready for it, and they created it, and they deserve it. And let's hope that they their worst fears are realized and they get completely voted out of office, out of power. And let's get some pro project people into the government that want to help the country, want to to help our crumbling infrastructure, want to provide real jobs, good paying jobs for people instead of just talking about it.
Well, the thing is that folks aren't aware. There's no policy.
More and more are starting to be aware because people like us are raising hell about it and making it public. And Bernie did a good job at illuminating that. He attracted a lot of followers. And Hillary, I hope, will carry that torch. And there's every indication that she is. And she's very infrastructure prone. And that's good.
I got a bone to pick with our revolution and the Sanders organization. They went through a huge tussle this week. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, they had some fallout of their leadership. The majority of their leadership quit because they were afraid that they were selling out or they were having guys like Jeff Weaver head it. And, you know, I'm kind of concerned about that too, but let's see where it goes. You know, I like the premise of it. I like the fact that they're trying to elect progressives at all levels of government. It's something that hasn't been tried yet. We've got to try this.
Well, here's the fucking point on that one. Senator Sanders made great show and support by Speak for Tim Canova down here, who's running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz during his run for the presidency, his candidacy. But ever since that and initial promises, he hasn't done anything to help him out at all, and Tim Canova's losing this race big time because
he's got to come down there and talk. He's got to come down there and he just can't make a statement and then expect that to carry the day. No, it needs active campaigning, and you know, I don't know what the lag is there, but I'm sure he's going to be more supportive. And it's up to our revolution and all these other similar minded groups to get the job done.
Jack,
what?
The freaking election is days away, and he hasn't done anything. Nothing. He hasn't even returned the several calls that Mr. Canova has put into him. He's telling the press down here about it. You know, he's all over the news saying, "Jesus, where the hell is Bernie? I need his help."
Yeah, Bernie. We don't know. We can't speculate, but we got to urge Bernie and his supporters to come down there and aid Mr. Canova. Especially Bernie's got to do it. He's already made a statement. He's got to put his money where his mouth is.
Well, he didn't, and he hasn't, and it's
well,
days away.
It isn't too late. It's not till late to the end, till the end of the election. So.
Yeah, well, this guy is really, one night of news isn't really going to, you know, I don't think it can turn the tide for him. I feel badly for Mr.
I don't
Kimo.
Either, but you never know. You know, we've got to make it public. We've got to do everything we can to get people like him. And if not him, somebody else somewhere else has got to carry the day, and we've got to get this done. Because we cannot allow the corporate Democrats to continually steamroll everybody and take kickback favors and do the bidding of big business. We've got to do the bidding of the people for a change, like we're supposed to do in the first place.
We do have to hold these guys' feet to the fire.
Exactly.
Bernie made a big show out of this, and he's trying to build his own organization, and yet he's not following through with his candidate.
In one instance. We don't know what else he's doing elsewhere, honey. Let's give him a little bit of the break here. I'm sorry that he has dropped the ball on Canova, but there are other people that I'm sure he's helping behind the scenes, and will do so publicly too. You know, we want instant results all the time, and it's not going to happen instantly. I keep saying that over and over and over again. We're committed to a long-term deal here. We won't take back the Congress immediately. We won't staff it with progressives immediately. It's going to take a long time and a lot of battles and a lot of money and a lot of talking and a lot of conversation and a lot of action. That's what we got to do, but it's not going to happen immediately. So we've got to be more patient.
Jack, if you make commitments politically for this season, you should follow through. Especially
well, you can only do so much, honey. He's up in the Northeast, and you want him to fly down every day? I mean, what do you want him to do?
I want him to campaign the same way he campaigned for himself. Get out to Seattle and help your friend get elected to the Senate. I want him to campaign down here and get Jim Canova elected over Devery Wasserman Schultz. Yes, I do expect that, because that's what he promised them. Yeah,
well, we don't know exactly what he promised them. He promised them his support. We haven't seen it come out yet, but like I said, it's a long-term thing. Revolutions don't happen boom like that. You know, there's setbacks involved and stuff like that too, but I am urging him, just like you are, to become more active and to not drop the ball. And he can't expect everybody to take his words and just run with it and immediately have immediate results. It takes a lot of work. And he knows that. I know that. We all know that. But we can't demand and expect immediate results. We've got to be more patient. We've got to keep at it. That's all we can do.
I agree with that. But I also agree, if you make a commitment, you should follow through. And this is not helping. It's hurting him.
Well, how long ago did he just started his our revolution thing this past week, Gwen? Where the hell, how's he supposed to do this overnight? You tell me.
No, he made these commitments. He made these commitments over 6 months ago while he was on the campaign trail.
Exactly. But he just started our revolution, an apparatus that will elect other Tim Canovas, if not Tim Canova.
And then he made the commitment again to these people by telling the DNC he would not share any information on supporters with them, because he himself was going to direct them to elect his candidates, who there's about six of them right now, that he was fully committed to seeing elected this cycle. And those are the people. And it's not happening.
Well, we have to find out why, don't we? We can't sit here and castigate. We can sit here and we can shoot bullets, but you know what? That isn't doing anything any good either. We got to understand why, and we got to make it happen. So,
I'm
working on your end for Tim Canova, and Bernie is in his own way, I assume, but maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
Organization walked out because they feel that Weaver is corrupted by money and is looking to bring in extra money to do this. And
right,
because he's doesn't follow through or put Bernie on the path to doing what his commitments were. So there you have that, too, that side of
the argument. Well, that could very well be the case, you know. And the fallout of that is still happening. Stuff's still falling down to the ground. So it takes time, Gwen. I'm telling you, it takes time. And you can castigate Bernie all you want. Go ahead.
I'm not castigating Bernie. I am asking him why and where is he. That's all.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, I mean, when you consider that if he showed up here in Fort Lauderdale for a day or two and campaigned with Tim Canova, he could possibly throw the election for him in his favor, throw the election into his favor.
Let's hope that happens.
Yeah, it hasn't so
now this,
far.
This election, is happening ahead of the general election?
Yes.
That's why time is crucial.
It's the primary.
Time is absolutely crucial.
And there's only a few days. I don't know what the schedule is out in Seattle. But it's just, you know, if we don't bring it up, if we don't say, hey, where are you? What are you doing? Well, you said you'd be there. Where are you? If you don't do that, if you make excuses for him saying it takes time to do things, well, that's not fair. Not
you know, here's a thought, and I hope this isn't the case, but I don't know. And I shouldn't just speculate because I hate doing that. But perhaps Mr. Tim Canova's inquiries have been hitting the wrong people. They've been hitting Weaver people and not getting to Bernie. We don't know. So if that's the case, that would explain why there's been little or no action. You know, we don't know this.
He's been on national television, spotlighted over it because
– right.
I don't see how Bernie could miss that.
I don't either. So I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, and it's true. It could be just that. But the thing is, and we know that the man ran.
Or maybe Weaver's keeping Bernie busy elsewhere. Who the hell knows? We don't know. You know, and Bernie's an independent guy. He's not going to just take Weaver's word for everything. But maybe he's been taking it a little bit too much of late, and let's hope that's not the case, but we don't know.
Yes, that's probably true, Jack. I'm just saying, you know, really like to see changes being made, and the opportunity lies before us right now. But,
right, you gotta strike while the iron's hot, you know.
If you're going to promise and not fulfill, and yet hold back on commitments you made to a party you ran under and said, well, I'm not going to share with you because I'm going to go out there and do it myself, and then you don't follow through on it, that's not good. That's not intense.
Well, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit here, Gwen. I know time is of the essence with Mr. Canova, but let's not jump the gun and let's see what happens over the next few days, and let's hope that we see a little change in the in the climate and in the actions or lack of action, you know.
Oh, I give you the last word on that. I hope so too. I really
do. It's not like Bernie to make a commitment and then fail to come through for it without a damn good reason. So he's usually keeps his commitments. He's very good at taking care of constituents and non-constituents who call on him. So if he can do that for those people, I'm sure he can do it for candidates that would actively support his ideals in upcoming elections. So I have no answer for you, but I can't believe that Bernie's just dropping the ball and saying, to hell with it, I've done enough. I can't believe that at all.
Oh, I don't.
We'll just have to see. Time will tell.
Then anybody can say he has. I just would like to know what's going on, because the opportunity is fabulous right now, and it's a shame to have it.
This is the time. This is a big year for the left, and they can't drop the ball. They can't just be complacent. They've got to act, and that includes Bernie and everybody else who's of that persuasion.
Like I said before, I'd like to see all four of these candidates in the debate, because I think it would only bring Bernie.
Well, we won't see that, because the networks will put the kibosh on that, and right now they have the upper hand in the argument. But you know, it's just you're starting to see some coverage of Jill Stein on independent media, the small independent things like Free Speech TV's interviews her a couple times. Sonali Kahatkar interviewed her a couple times.
Well, I got to tell you, she's been all over CNN, and she's had some time on MSNBC, too. People have been getting Jill Stein more airtime than they have the Libertarian candidate. She has,
and you know what? That's a very hopeful sign. That's a very, very hopeful sign, and I hope it continues. We've got to keep that going because, you know what? We would be served by better served by more than two parties. Two parties have gotten corrupted, and that's the arguments that both of them make. They have been corrupted by big money, and as Noam Chomsky once said, and it was very true. He said America only has one political party; it's the business party. He said there is the Democratic faction and the Republican faction, and a lot of times they overlap, and in other ways they're different. But by and large, there's one party in this country. It's the business party, and that's what we've got to change. It's just ridiculous. We don't have choice here. We talk about having choice. We talk about the land of the free. We're the land of bullshitters.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
It's true, though. It's true. We love to put forth an image that's not true.
Well,
as long as it looks good, that's good enough for us, and that's not good enough for me.
There's that. I agree with you. There's way too much influence on the money side. It's
right.
Absolutely engulf and devour. I think that's the way that Mel Brooks put it. We're at the end of the hour. I want to remind everybody you can find Jack Jodell's Saturday Afternoon Post blog online. Just Google Saturday Afternoon Post and take
You'll
a look.
You'll find it.
Putting up every week. And the Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson with our other host who has been absent today. I hope he enjoyed his youngest birthday. And we will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m.
And everybody, I'll remind you again, keep pushing forward. Do not look backward. Keep pushing forward. It's the only option that we have. It's the only sane option. It's the only just and fair option. We've got to keep it going. So keep pushing forward, everybody. And thank you, Gwen, for another great show and for trying to keep the public enlightened. We're trying our best to do that. And I urge everybody to, visit all those great blog sites that she mentioned. And our best wishes to David Williams. He's working on something, I think, for the future now that Roundtree 7's done. It was a great blog while it lasted, and we hope he'll come up with something new and even better. So,
there you go. I agree. I think one more little fact here before we sign off. Out there, while the nations are fighting this pipeline, they've been joined by the Black Lives Matter movement out there on the prairies.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome. People are working together. So that's a really good sign.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's America for you, folks. That's real America. That's not realist. That's not reality TV. That's the real thing. The true, honest America is what's happening when the Black community and their activists and the Native American community, First Nations community, work together. That's the way it's supposed to be.
There you go. Thanks, Jack, for being with me. Appreciate it. I hope you all have a wonderful week ahead, and I guess we'll have to stick our eyes back over towards the funny papers to see how it's going in the nation this week.
Remember, everybody, democracy is not a spectator sport. You've got to get out there and get active. Tag, you're it. According to Tom Hartman, I agree 100%. Keep it up, folks. Keep it going.
Okay, that's our show for this week. We will be back next week at 6 p.m. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm Gwen Berry in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And Jeff Jodell's up there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good night.
Have a great week, everybody.